Wednesday, March 27th, 1985, at 7:02, will please come to order. Let the record show that Representative Finalberry, Representative Herman, Representative Schultz, Representative Cato are in attendance. We have before us this morning HJR 14 related to the navigability of Alaska rivers and lakes. The sponsor is Dick Schultz. He is here. If you'd like to testify from your position that you're in right now, you may do so.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'll just go ahead and read the prepared statement that I have here. Because there are rivers in Alaska that have been determined as being wild and scenic without a determination as to they're being considered navigable, there exists a distinct possibility that traditional uses on these and other rivers may not continue at historic levels. If a given body of water is found to be navigable, the state will have title to the land under such a body, thus allowing local residents and citizens of the state to be in a stronger position to argue for the customary and traditional uses of both uses both on the water as well as along each one of its shores. In terms of establishing resource and recreational priorities on our Alaskan water bodies, it is essential that local, state, and federal concerns be addressed in order that allows these people who are most directly affected to continue their customary and traditional uses of the river to the greatest degree possible. To that end, it does not make sense to establish a federal classification of a water body before a local and state priority such as navigability is resolved. To help eliminate future controversies, I have suggested via this resolution that the federal government recognize and adhere to a practical policy of waiting for a solution to the navigability issue before proceeding with any additional wild and scenic classifications. I want to just go on. There is a committee substitute and here, and it incorporates some changes that is in harmony with the pending state legislation against BLM, and I concur with those changes and support the committee substitute.
Could you point out those the changes, Representative Schultz?
Okay, on line 13.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm going back and comparing the two here.
Right.
On line 13, after rivers and lakes four, and it says both. Where's the committee substitute?
Right.
Oh, right here. Okay.
Oh. If you look at your packet, sure. I forgot to tell you to read your. You know, if you look at your packet, we have a copy of all the changes.
Okay. As traditional travel, anyway, rather than both commercial and non-commercial uses. Line 15,
right.
Federal government. Line 17, jet unit and aluminum boat. And then there's boats, airboats, and winter use, also on that line. And then line 25, whereas, and then there's travel, which is being inserted. 28, may consider, is now studying. And on page 2, delete the word legal. Right.
I have such an efficient staff. We have such an efficient staff, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
They have all it. And on the top page that always comes on your packet, it shows the things that are in your packet. And I just wasn't looking that closely this morning.
As you, if I may, Madam Chairman, as you well know, that the federal government is. And they have several rivers throughout the state that they can go in and classify. And when they begin classifying these rivers as wild and scenic, I can give an example in my district, the Charlie Rivers, Charlie River, wild and scenic, what is it, refuge, park, what is it?
Conservation
area. Anyway, when they go in, if we would win the navigability issue or suit, then to go back in and try to change or undo what's already done is going to be a virtual impossibility. So we're just asking them to put on hold on your classification until this thing is resolved.
What's the nature of the lawsuit between BLM and the state on that?
Frank, address that one.
Yes, would you like to take the chair? State your name for the record, please.
I'm Frank Milkey. I'm staff representative Sam Cotton. Testifying by permission of Representative Cotton for the committee because of my past position of Chief of Land Management with the state. basically... the number of lawsuits, you have to file one on each river, and the nature of the action would be to get under that statute of limitations so the state does not lose the navigability determination option, does not lose its option to contest the navigability or non-navigability of the rivers. But there's been a lot of court action recently, but there's just so many rivers in the state, there hasn't really been time to do all of them. So in the natural resources budget, there was sufficient funding for the legal fees to file those lawsuits to stop the statute of limitations from affecting the navigability determination in all these rivers.
In other words, what we're asking here is that the federal government stop classifying until such time as the suits are determined?
Right.
There's some other implications to that, too. ANILCA says that the wild and scenic navigability determinations do not include state lands. What it doesn't tell you is that there's a ruling, I believe it deals with one of the parks or similar units of the federal government in Minnesota out of the circuit court there, that says that state actions cannot adversely affect those federal prerogatives on their designation. So there's, even though ANILCA says it doesn't include your lands, there's a spillover effect to state lands if they determine these wild and scenic rivers as to what options the state has for managing its adjacent lands. So it's bigger than it looks. If you supposedly that was taken care of in ANILCA, but they didn't include any language about adjoining or abutting lands and what effect it would have on those lands if those rivers were determined wild and scenic.
All right. Representative Davis, did you have a question? Let the record show that Representative Davis Representative Ferns of Georgia.
You said, thank you, Madam Chairman. Yes, Mr. Milkey, you said there was money in the budget. Does that mean there isn't any more?
No, it still is. It still is.
What kind of money in the budget is it going to take for those lawsuits?
It isn't a great deal. It's only like another $50,000 over and above what is in the governor's budget. And actually, that came out as a wash because they had another vacant non-legal position. But the attorney's funding is all in there in the House budget at this point in time.
Do you know what that dollar figure is?
I'm trying to think what the total is. It's $437,000 for the whole navigability project. Legal fees, staff time, advertising notices, everything.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
All right. Are there any further questions to Frank? If not, we have another witness, Phil Holdsworth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is Phil Holdsworth, and I'm speaking primarily for the Alaska Miners Association and our concern about the use of streams, navigability, and so on. The Submerged Lands Act of 1953 gave the state, and it's all and a lot of decisions on this in the statutes and the Statehood Act and your volume number one. When we became a state, Alaska acquired the rights to the land beneath navigable waters. And that determination of navigability is extremely important. Right after statehood, when we started selecting lands, we were required to select half townships or fairly large tracts. And for example, in the Matsu Valley, land selected by the state, which encompassed the Big Sioux, Big Sioux Sitting River, the Bureau of Land Management had an agreement with the state that, I've forgotten how many chains it was between vegetation line to vegetation line, but if it was so wide and lakes of 50 acres or over in size were considered non-chargeable against our acreage of selections. Now that kind of set a precedent which they have been ignoring ever since. And I would think that the state has a pretty good case in After all, the Submerged Lands Act of 1953 became effective at the time of statehood. As far as Alaska was concerned, the same as all other states. And any subsequent federal legislation, I would think, could not upset that right. And I think this ought to be considered. I'm sure it probably has been by our legal people, but that's something that should really be considered. Whether or not Wild Scenic River is created after statehood, if they involve state-owned lands beneath the navigable waters, I think that's something that should be really looked into.
That's an interesting perspective. Representative Penalberry?
Madam Chairman, I think I need a primer on the designation Wild and Scenic River vis-a-vis navigability. I didn't think that they were mutually exclusive. The whole purpose for Wild and Scenic Rivers is that they remain pristine and people can float them but not use mechanized boats or something like that. Is that correct?
That's right.
Well, why does this this designation of this finding that they're navigable, why is that somehow in contradiction? Why does that do violence to the Wild and Scenic designation? Just occurs to me as I'm listening to both of the people who have talked so far that I really don't know what the issue is. We're afraid, but these 12 rivers are going to be declared. You're afraid they're going to be declared navigable. If they are navigable, you don't want them to be Wild and Scenic Rivers. Is that?
Okay. If they're classified as the Wild and Scenic, then you're, that's all the use you're going to have. You're going to be able to float that river or whatever. And if we win the navigability thing, you're still not going to be able to go back in there once they've been classified as wild and scenic rivers. You're not going to be able to come back in and use the river for the customary and traditional uses that you've used before in the past.
But if they're navigable, will they then be classified as wild and scenic, or is it less
likely? Less likely.
Okay, I got you. We want to first determine the navigability.
Sure.
I'm slow this morning. Thank you.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Yes, Bill.
The problem is, or the issue which really isn't raised here, is they assert management of the feds, assert management of that, including the water bottoms, which are still belong to the state. And this, you know, raises a conflict as to who really can manage those lands. They just usurp the management of it once it's declared one of their Wild and Scenic Rivers.
We have fine. Thank you very much, Bill. Are there any further questions relating to Bill?
Do we have the committee substitute before us, or do we have the?
Yes, in your package you'll see the committee substitute.
Have we adopted the committee substitute?
Oh, excuse me. No, we have not.
Before we do.
I thought you meant it in the packet. No, I would entertain such a motion.
Okay. Line 16, if I may, on the committee substitute.
Well, let's do it in front of us.
Oh, okay. Good enough. Sure.
Would someone please move that we adopt committee substitute?
Okay. I move that we adopt committee substitute House Joint Resolution 14.
Representative Davis has moved that we adopt committee substitute on House Joint Resolution number 14. Is there any objection? No objection, so ordered. Representative Schultz.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chairman. There was a letter in here from Bob Arnold, and I don't have any problem with it. And in line 16, eliminating such as float plane.
Would you like to make amendment to that?
Leave such as, but just eliminate float plane.
You wish to make an amendment to that?
If I may, yes. On line 16, after the word as, eliminate floatplane, and then continue on.
Is there any objection from the committee? If not, so ordered.
May I ask a point of information on procedure, Madam Chairman, for a few days?
Yes.
Educate me, please. Had we not adopted the committee substitute, Now that we've amended this, is it going to be CSHJR 14 transportation amended?
Amended. Yes.
Unless we want
but
to.
If we had gone ahead and he had just said, well, look, before we adopt the substitute, let's scratch out float plan, then would we have had...
We wouldn't have to have it amended, you're correct.
Right, that's right.
Okay, I'm just trying to...
Yeah.
Markle, we could ask...
That's what I was trying to say.
Once we find all the other corrections, then we just say adopt a new committee substitute with the amount of changes, so we don't have to, otherwise this comes in as a tag, you've got a little tag at the end of your, end of this committee substitute, which is...
Representative Davis is entirely correct. If there are any other changes we wish to make, rather than amend, we could mark them out and then come in with a new committee substitute with those deleted, which would be very simple to do.
I have a question, Madam Chairman.
Representative Davis?
What's the difference between the committee substitute now that we've adopted it and the original bill? Just some...
If you look in your packet, you'll find all the changes. And as you come in the mornings, you have before you this slip of paper that shows you everything that's in your packets. This laying on top of your packets.
Efficiency is the name of the game. I want to commend the chairman and the staff for having an act together.
They really do have, don't they?
You see, it's just one in the next committee, huh?
I think you ought to give a similar efficiency.
I did at the beginning of the session, remember?
Is there anyone else to talk to?
Committee chairman.
Got the three staff, you got Chris and two.
So is there any other discussion on this?
Is there any further, that's just what I was going to say. Is there any further discussion?
I'd like to make a motion on this.
We'd appreciate it.
I'd like to move that we pass out committee substitute House Bill Joint Resolution 14 as amended and make this into a new committee substitute.
All right.
And ask for unanimous consent to this move out of the committee.
Representative Davis has moved that we form a new committee substitute, deleting the word float plane, and pass the bill out of committee with unanimous consent. Is there any objection?
Call the question.
Question? All in favor?
You.
No objections? So ordered. We have before us a horse of a different color. However, it's an appropriation bill, one that we have discussed the actual bill on. It's House Bill number 291, an act making special appropriation, Department of Transportation of Public Facilities for local service, roads and trails, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Krillin, did you wish to testify or just to answer questions? How about Mike Vidner or David Bush?
Just observer, Madam Chairman, David Bush.
Just to observe.
Mike Vidner, just observer, Madam Chairman.
All right.
More motion, Madam Chairman?
Yes.
So move the passage of the bill, Madam Chairman, as unanimous consent with the recommendation. Recommendation.
I object for the purpose of a question. We've been doing some work on the local hire bills, and I was told yesterday by one of the attorneys involved that henceforth all the appropriation or the capital project bills are going to, and the capital budget this year, is going to include language stating that the purpose of the expenditure is to alleviate unemployment and stabilize Alaska's economy so that the local hire laws will stand up in the event of a challenge. And I'm wondering if we ought to include that language in here or if it's going to go to finance. I guess they'll take care of it. I
would imagine they will take care of it in finance. However, I don't think it probably would pertain to this in as much as this is a appropriation to a department, not a capital project.
Well, Madam Chairman, the money that goes to DOT, do they do all the work in-house or do they contract out?
The majority of the local roads, service and trail are generally done by people in the villages and in their own towns and things like that. Very little of this is done by DOT, am I correct, Mr. Krillin?
Yes.
So then, actually, perhaps, Representative Alberry's motion or letter of intent or whatever he was proposing, I'm not sure, but then perhaps that would be in order then, because it would be going out to not only villages and villages, but small communities like Cordova, places like that, which would not necessarily be hiring local people. I shouldn't use Cordova.
I don't know why.
Someplace like Chicken or something like that.
Representative Curtis?
Just thinking, Madam Chairman, it's a good idea. However, whatever we do in that respect to this piece of legislation would be contingent upon that other bill passing.
Yes.
So it may be a little premature. It appears that if the other bill passes, it should be all encompassing enough to include this type of legislation.
I would think it would be. And I would hate to hang something like that on this bill and cause a great deal of controversy over it, as much as this has been an ongoing thing for many years. And you will find that almost all the projects, they're so small that they almost have to have local labor.
This program is
a large contractor wouldn't come in and take care of any of these and bring a lot of people out. Mr. Krill?
Madam Chairman, in our last LSR&T handbook, we used to have that in there when it was law that they would use local hire. And in the latest version of the handbook, we suggested they should use local hires, not because it's to get around the law, because we push for that very strongly, and of course all the local governments and the villages go for it anyway. So it's just part of the program under the regulations that the commissioner does establish for the program. So it's already taken care of, and we'll adopt it. Any new way of getting something closer to local hire, it'll be probably right, it'll put into our guidelines.
So thank you very much, Mr. Krill. Mr. Furness has moved. Would you restate your motion, Mr. Furness?
I move the Supreme Committee House Bill, let's see, 291,
with individual recommendations? Representative Furness has moved House Bill 291 out of committee with individual recommendations. Are there any objections? If not, so ordered. Let's see. Let me read my little sheet, which I forget half the time. Is there any further business come before the committee? There's no further business come to the committee. The committee is adjourned at 7:27.
Did you attend? Chairman of Labor and Commerce.